Well, state parks are now reopening, and people aren't the only ones flocking to the wilderness. Migratory birds are making their way across the state these days. And while the birds were always exempt from restrictions, the fact that the parks are open again works out very well for bird watchers. Kim Brand is here to tell us more. She is the engagement director for Audubon, North Carolina. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Why don't we start out with a bird song? I think that's just in order. And so I would love for you to tell us about the bird that is making this song.
That is a favorite of many people. Some people say that the most... Sorry for talking over the bird. That is a wood thrush, one of the most beautiful songs in all of North America. Not a super fancy looking bird, but one that spends its winter in Central America and makes its way to North Carolina to make nests and babies in our deep, dark woods. And that sound will cheer up anyone who hears it. It's also a bird we can find in our yards right now as they are completing their migration journeys.
So they nest here, have their babies, and then they go elsewhere for the rest of the year. Is that the idea?
Yes, they'll go right back down. A little bit of research we did in North Carolina, actually at Pilot Mountain State Park, tracked a wood thrush from North Carolina to Belize and back again.
Wow.
So we know our North Carolina birds have at least that one connection with Belize. And they actually spend more time there than here. So it's really a special moment when you get to hear one.
Well, it's, you know, I love North Carolina, but Belize would not be a bad place to spend a little extra time if you're thinking through where to spend your spare time and should you be able to travel. One of the rarer birds, I think, traveling through this area right now is the blackpoll warbler. Tell us about that.
The blackpoll warbler is not flashy in song or plumage, although it's very cute. It's about 4.5-5 inches long, a little black cap, white body, yellow legs, yellow bill. What makes this bird really neat is it's the long-distance champion of all songbirds. We see this bird only for these couple weeks in May when they're making their northward journey. They breed far, far north of here. And we never see these birds, the blackpoll warbler, in the fall in North Carolina. So there was this, you know, centuries-old mystery. How does this bird make its southward journey in the fall? And it turns out from tracking data that the blackpoll warbler flies 1,700 miles over open ocean, over the Atlantic Ocean, to the northern coast of South America. So kind of amazing. You could look out in your yard right now in the top of a tree and see this little bird that is a long-distance champion.
Yeah, but to highlight what you just said, it's only a one-way trip because it does this big circuit, so it doesn't go up and back. We don't get to see it twice a year, just that one time as it circles around. And it's tiny. And you know where it goes. And as you say, this was the Holy Grail. Where's this bird going and why don't we see it twice a year? You put a little camera on this thing, right? Is that right?
It's a light. For that bird, it's a light sensor.
Okay.
And those just got tiny enough to sense the light, record the data, and then along with the wood thrush too, the technology is such that you have to recapture the bird. It's not like the albatrosses where you can log into your computer and see the satellite data in real time.
So it doesn't transmit. It's on the bird. You have to find the bird. It's the size of what? It's like a couple AA batteries. It's a tiny bird. You have to find the bird the thing with the little necklace on and say, yeah, that's the one. Get the tracking device. All right, here, let's do this. I want to play another one for you, and we'll talk about the scarlet tanager.
Just one call.
So let's do another one right now. This is the grosbeak, I believe, the rose-breasted grosbeak. All right, what should we know about those birds?
These are flashy birds that are being seen across the state right now. So, you know, you could literally simply just look out your window and see these brilliantly colored birds. It could jolt you out of the funk that we're all feeling right now because of the coronavirus. So the scarlet tanager is brilliantly red, at least the males are, with black wings. The bird is so bright, it almost looks like it's emitting its own light. So give every red bird you see a second look over the next couple of weeks, because, you know, we all know our state bird, the northern cardinal, is red, but take a second look and see if it's a scarlet tanager. And listen for that distinctive chipper that you heard at the end of that recording. The song sounds so much like a robin and so much like the rose-breasted grosbeak that you want to listen for that distinctive noise, that chipper. It'll catch your attention. And the rose-breasted grosbeak is just such a gorgeous bird. We're getting reports of people seeing these at their feeders across the state. They will end up breeding in the North Carolina mountains and then farther, you know, up the Appalachian Mountains and then to the north of us. So folks in the mountains are lucky, but all of us can enjoy these right now at our feeders. And the rose-breasted grosbeak is, the males at least, are very sharp black and white with a brilliant, stunning splash of rosy red on the breast. Cannot miss this bird. Also has a giant beak, as you might expect. And keep an eye out for the females as well. They are brown and tan, streaky, but they'll get your attention too. It kind of looks like a female house finch has gone all Incredible Hulk on you. It looks like a giant female house finch.
And it has a dull, throbbing roar that sounds like it's going to grab you by the throat. No, that's not true. Well, I'm here. I'm talking to Kim Brand, Audubon, North Carolina, and I'd like to welcome now a young ornithologist to the program. Ro-Yu Tan is an eighth grader at the Academy at Lincoln, which is a public school in Greensboro. She and her partner won gold for their bird identification skills at a regional science Olympiad tournament. Ro-Yu, welcome to the State of Things.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations. You won gold at the regionals, right?
Thank you, yeah.
But now the sad part is the regional should have sent you on to the next level, and that next level, owing to the shutdown, is not going to happen, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, due to COVID-19, state and national science Olympiad has been canceled.
Sorry. So you were well placed to probably do pretty well, right? Tell us more about the Olympiad, because it's like 14,000 students compete in the Science Olympiad, right? I mean, nationwide.
Yeah, so Science Olympiad is a big competition that goes all the way to national level. And there's about 25 topics that you can choose from and compete in. Each topic focuses on a different field in science. So there's like mechanical topics, physics topics, biology, and environmental. It's a whole list you can choose from. And basically how it works is the place you get in your topic, whether it be first or second or even third place, it gets added onto the overall team score, and the team with the least amount of points would move on to the next level.
Well, that's
whether
great.
That be regionals to state or states to nationals.
Right. And as we say, 14,000 just in here in the state of North Carolina. And you did so well in the regionals. But as you say, there's a number of areas within the Science Olympiad that students can compete in. You chose ornithology. Why? What drew you to that?
Yeah, I'm really drawn to life and nature. And this year, the nature topic is ornithology. So I was like, perfect. Birds are cool. They fly in the air. They're really pretty. And after studying and putting myself in the topic deeply, I found how much there is to learn about birds other than what they look like and what they sound like, because they are just a whole topic that's like extraordinary.
So what were some of the big surprises for you, things you didn't know?
Yeah, so their anatomy is actually very, very different. I never thought about it, but their respiratory system is very large, and they can actually hold air in their body with air sacs. And I didn't know that. So, that was a pretty cool fact to learn.
Is that what they use to, obviously air is what they use to make those beautiful sounds too. So you'd have to have not only a fair amount, an abundance of air to make noise that loud, but also you need a lot of control over that. So that would suggest to me lots of muscles that are controlling all that air in and out. Is that right? Well, that may not have been part of what you...
There's just one bird.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just saying, there was this one bird, American bittern. It actually makes a droplet sound, and they do that by manipulating their esophagus and using their muscles in their throat. Yeah.
Well, we actually have a sample of that right here. Let's listen. Wait, that's a bird?
Yes, that loud droplet.
Wow. Kim, I want to ask you about this. Kim Brand at Audubon Society. What did we just hear? Tell us a little bit more about the bird.
The American bittern is such a weird bird and not often seen. I was just checking my free Audubon Bird Guide app. You can see the recent sightings near you, which is amazing, especially for folks who are just getting started identifying birds. So there's three sightings in North Carolina so far this May, in Henderson, Mecklenburg, and Durham counties. But anyway, it's a weird streaky bird that it's a type of heron, and it breeds in freshwater marshy areas. And just, kind of like the blackpoll warbler's southward journey in the fall, not that much is known about their nesting behavior, and very few nests have been even found, much less studied in great detail. So they're really cool. This bird came up over the weekend while I was playing bird games with my kids, because Mother's Day, and my daughter said this one looks like a traffic cone because bitterns love to point their beaks sky high and just be completely, completely still, and they are kind of cone shaped.
Wow. Ro, let me ask you something. If this is the study of birds has changed your understanding of ecology in general, in other words, the relationships that we are all a part of in nature.
Yeah, of course. Birds have unique symbiosis with other animals and other species. And it's really opened my eyes in nature, because whenever I go outside now, I notice all the different birds there are to see. And it's really a perspective and something that you can focus on, and it's really nice.
Ro, you have just won another gold medal, and you can take that one with you for the rest of your life. So congratulations. Ro Yu Tan, gold medal-winning ornithologist for the Academy at Lincoln in Greensboro, North Carolina, won first place at the regional competition in Greensboro. Congratulations to you, Ro Yu.
Thank you.
And thank you, Kim Brand, Audubon North Carolina's engagement director. Kim, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.